Let the church say amen. God has been good once again to us. You know, God didn't have to have us here this morning. But thank God that He did. And He has left us here. This morning, first of all, let me concur with Brother Miles and say Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And let us remember who the day really belongs to. This is the Lord's Day. But secondarily, we thank our mothers, and we ought to each individually be thanking our mothers this morning just for the fact of getting us here. God has been good to all of us who are here this morning. This morning, before we go very much farther, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and Heavenly Father, thank You this morning, O Lord. Thank You for giving us what You have given us. Thank You for continuing to give unto us. Father, when we put our heads on our pillows last night, we trusted that You would get us up this morning, and we, those of us who considered it enough to ask You, Father, that You would open our sleepy eyes in the morning and bring us back to life. We thank You, O Lord, for eyes to see. We thank You for ears to hear. We thank You for a mouth to speak, and we thank You for a tongue inside of our mouths that we may speak the unspeakable riches of Jesus Christ. We thank You, O Lord. We thank You that You got us up. We thank You that You raised us and made us what we are right now, and that is alive and quickened in You, O Lord. Thank You, Father, for all You do for us as we pray this morning for the leaders of this congregation and their family members, as we pray for those who have served in as their portion this morning, and for those who shall come farther on in this service, in these services this morning. We pray for mothers everywhere this morning, Father, but at least we forget not about the fathers, but since we are observing the mothers today, let us thank You for those mothers, those who are truly mothers. Thank You, Father, for all You do for us, and thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have presented us another day to work out our soul and another opportunity to work out our soul salvation. Thank You, Father. Thank You for all and everything and all things, O Lord. It is in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray and ask You to be with these services this morning. We pray and thank You for Your Son who went to yonder's cross, hung, bled, and died on that cross that we may have this opportunity to the tree of life. Thank You for things beyond our control as well as things that be in our control that we may control them righteously, O Lord. Thank You, Lord. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we ask it all. Amen. This morning, from the first book of Samuel, and the brother read for your hearing from verses number 10 through verses number 17. We'll pick up a couple of more verses in between all of that. But we want to talk for a little while about a woman of faith. A woman of faith. Before I go further, let us remember those who are sick and those who are not doing their best. Let us thank God that they are doing at all. Let us remember that God is real and God is trustworthy and God is able. So as we talk about a woman of faith this morning, I don't know, I would assume most of you sports fans saw the acceptance speech by Kevin Durant on his acceptance of the MVP trophy. Someone said he raised the bar for Mother's Day. And this young man really spoke from his heart, I believe, and thus he was speaking of his mother and the things that she brought him through and the things that she helped him to overcome. I believe that all of us ought to be proud of our mothers and satisfied that we still can call upon her, as Brother Miles said. When God fails, mothers will be there. Mothers are good to know. And it's good to be able to have a mother if you still do have a mother. There are many stories today of how mothers can be an influence on their children, but none are more precious than that of a mother who lives a Christian life before her children. None of us can get here without a mother. The Bible teaches us of a number of mothers who influence their children. Today we can always think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. But allow, if you will, for us to reach back to a mother of the Old Testament. Let us see that Christian mothers have not changed a lot since the time of Hannah. They have grown up in more modern times, but God has not changed His word, nor His thoughts, nor His practices, nor His promises. Let us take a look at this mother, or this woman of faith, if you will. Before she became a mother, she was just a woman. So she was filled with sorrows. This woman, by the way, is Hannah. She was filled with sorrows and troubles. She had many troubles and many sorrows. She was the one of at least two wives of one man named Elkanah. But she was not a mother yet. As the biblical drama goes, her husband loved her, but she was without children. She wept and was bitter, but I can hear some women of today asking, what's so bad about not having children? What's so bad about not being a mother? Well, I'll give you an answer to that. I'll tell you what's wrong with that. According to Psalms 127 in verse number 3, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. You know, back in the olden times, it was good to have a son, a man child. And this made a man very proud to have a man child. And when a woman couldn't deliver him and give him a man child, she often felt left out, and she felt bad about it many times. And I know that some of our children today are bad, partly because of poor parenting. Parents are supposed to offer counsel to their children. Too many times these parents have never had the privilege of having themselves been counseled. So how can they know if they have not been taught? So when you look at the text of this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says in verse number 10, and she vowed a vow and said, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. But look at verse number 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. The ways of the Lord are good. In all of her troubles and sorrows, Hannah knew where to go. In verse number 10, she, as I just read, she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord. You know, there's no better thing to do than to pray unto the Lord. When you ask the Lord for something, you must have enough faith in order to believe that He will deliver what you are asking of Him to deliver. You've got to have faith, even if your faith is but the size of the grain of a mustard seed. You must have faith. So she went unto the Lord's house in verse number 10 and prayed to Him. This verse tells me this, that here was a woman who trusted in the Lord and showed her faith. She believed that God could do anything, and He can and He could. He could and He can still do that same thing. Her sorrows were so great that she began to pour out her heart unto Him. She began to look at verse number 15, if you will. And Hannah answered and said, when Eli approached her, well, let's start up with verse number 12. And it came to pass as she continued to praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, Not only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. She was praying and pouring out her heart so much to God that the priest Eli thought that this woman was drunk. What a praying mother she must have been. Sometimes I wonder if mothers still have that same praying intuition today. I wonder if women, or mothers I should say, if they are still praying, or if they are praying like this woman prayed. Her sorrows were great, and she poured out her heart unto God. Her prayers were so great that this man thought that she was drunken. That reminds me of Jesus when he was in the garden. He was praying so hard that great drops of blood, it seemed as though great drops of blood was falling from him. But this woman was praying, and her prayers were so great that the priest thought that she was drunk. She told him she was pouring out her soul to the Lord. I want you to notice just how much she wanted to be a mother. Look at verse number 11, if you will, once again. And she vowed a vow that said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She wanted a child, but she specifically wanted a man child. She wanted to be a mother, and she vowed to give a son to the Lord if the Lord would grant her the ability to raise up and have a man child. She prayed for the impossible to become possible. For God has shut up her womb, and we know with God nothing is impossible. But then you have to ask the question this morning, would Hannah have become a good mother? Or what kind of mother would Hannah have become? For all we have read about Hannah, she showed the traits of a faithful mother. She knew who her God was. She knew that she needed to pray to him. Unlike some women of today who have either forgotten God, or perhaps they've never bothered to get to know God. We can get a closer look at some of the traits of a godly mother, a godly mother. She was willing to give her child to God, according to verse number 11. She understood the position in which she found herself in, and she insisted, instead of disavowing God, she continued to pray and continued to pour out her heart and her soul to God. Look at verse number 12. And it came to pass as she continued to pray, praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. She was praying, and I wish I could have been there to see the kind of prayer that she was praying that would have made a person thought that she was drunken. But Eli saw her, and the Bible records her how that she was praying like she was. So her husband had suggested to her in verse number 8 of 1 Samuel, well, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Here was a woman who would not be satisfied until the Lord heard her prayer. This ought to help us to understand what kind of mother, if she was ever to become one, she would be. How many of us today would have given up on praying and asking God when it seems as though God was not listening to us? Well, I got news for you this morning. No one knows better than God when to answer us. And certainly no one knows how to answer us as He can. One lesson from this is that women who live godly still can have troubles in this life. You know, faith does not preclude us from having troubles in this life. Faith does not preclude trouble from visiting us. Sometimes trouble comes on an emergency basis. Sometimes it comes when we least expect it. But sometimes God knows when trouble is coming to us always, but sometimes when we get in trouble, we must look to God to help us get out of trouble. How many of us today, as I asked the question, would have given up on praying? I don't know if you understand the importance of prayer today, but prayer is very important in the life of a Christian. Prayer is so very important in the life of us that believe God will, can, and does hear our prayers. Godly women as well as godly men can still have problems. Do you remember Sarah in Genesis chapter 16 in about verses 3 through 5? She was in a similar position as Hannah was in. Yet Hannah never stopped praying. As a matter of fact, she prayed from her heart. In verse number 13 of the text, the Bible says she prayed and spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved. Only her lips moved, but she was praying in her heart. When your prayers are not answered, I suggest this to you this morning. Don't stop praying. Continue to pour out your heart and become like Hannah in verse number 15. We must never stop praying. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Do you know what it means to pray without ceasing? Praying without ceasing means praying on a bright and sunny day because you thank God for the sunshine and the warmth. But it also means praying when the clouds are gray and the sky is filled with dark rain clouds. You still pray. You pray all the time. You pray when your prayers have been answered, and you pray before they're answered, and then you pray when they have been answered. So you just keep on praying. God will hear your prayers. Now, I don't know when God may answer your prayers, but God will hear your prayers. God hears especially the prayer of the righteous. God, in the next matter of business, God granted her prayers. We are here today because a mother birthed us. We are here because the Lord blessed a woman to have us. And in our text in verses 19 of 1 Samuel, look at verse number 19. Verse number 19 says, "And they rose up in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her." She got her prayers answered. We find the Lord remembered her. Certainly mothers of today can find peace in knowing that God does answer prayers. He may not give us what we seek or what we want, but He will provide all of our needs. All we need to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Hannah did not forget her vow to the Lord she made in verse number 11. The vow that she made unto the Lord, she brought it back in verse number 28. Look at verse number 28. "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. She remembered her vow in verse number 11 where she told the Lord she would give him to the Lord. Look at verse number 11. She vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou indeed will look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life." She promised him to the Lord. Now today, it is so good to know that God is God. And I know mothers everywhere that are faithful women, are faithful mothers, are rejoicing and thanking God not only for this day, but for the fact of motherhood. What a lesson this woman can teach us. Not only women and mothers, but as well, men as well. A woman of faith, especially one who is a mother, has a great influence upon her children and her family. When she has the faith enough to pray when times are tough, pray when times are good, pray when times have you so low you feel like you're crawling, pray on like Hannah, pour out your heart to the Lord. When a mother prays, the household can see someone who trusts in God and believes in His power. Now, I've heard it said that when one prays at home, they will also pray at church. And when one prays at church, they will also pray at home. And I don't mean necessarily a public prayer in church. Before anyone stops me and says women can't pray in church, I don't mean that. I mean you can pray right along with the prayer as it's being prayed. Certainly these are two of the places a person of faith should find themselves, at home and at church. And I'll tell you a little bit of something about coming to church. When you come to church, you're not doing God a favor. When you come to church, you're doing what's expected of you, what the Lord has proclaimed of you. In Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And while I'm visiting church, I may as well drop in and let you know that the church cannot run on fumes. The church needs your support. The church needs your help. Now, I know if you look at the board, you'll say, well, we made it last week, but how many weeks prior to last week did we not make it? So we need your support. We had a rough winter. And in our rough winter, number one, we had to keep you warm when you came up in here. So it cost more to maintain the heating system. It costs more to turn the heating system on. And many of you, or most of you at home, know the same thing because your bills was higher. Well, the church's bill was higher too. And some of you may say, well, but the church, we only use it once a week. But that once a week, we keep everybody warm, do we not? Or we try our best. And so that cost us. So all I'm saying is dig a little deeper when the collection time comes each and every Sunday. I'm not saying give everything you have, but give a little bit more so you can help out the church. But anyway, let me get back to my lesson here. A faithful mother will keep her children usually in order. A faithful mother will go with and not send her children to church. A faithful mother will teach her family right from wrong. But above all, she will maintain a relationship with the Lord. So I ask the question this morning, doesn't our mothers deserve our undivided attention on a day like today? I say this almost every year around Mother's Day. If you're not taking your mother out to dinner, you ought to be. If you're not taking her somewhere that's nice for her to enjoy her day, you should be. And many of us, me included, no longer have a mother here, and I know many of you are just like that. So we don't have the privilege and the opportunity to do for our mothers what we'd like to do. But above all, tell your mother something about the Lord. Let your mother know that you appreciate her, but let her also know that God is able to rectify any situation that's going on in our lives or in her life. Now, Hannah was a woman who was not a mother, but she prayed and asked God to give her this man child. She visited the Lord in deep prayer, and she asked the Lord to give her this man child. Once again, look at the history of Hannah. And starting in verse number 2, it describes her husband in verse number 1, but in verse number 2, it says that this man had two wives. One of them was Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. So this goes on to give the history of Hannah and how she came about to be such a praying and a faithful woman there. But look at verse number 5. Unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary had provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. In other words, she teased her and she joked at her and she belittled her because she could not or did not have a child. But Lord God of heaven and earth knows the trouble each and every one of us are going through. He knows just what you're going through. And I suggest this morning, and I think it's still morning, well, it's a few more minutes and it's past morning, but I suggest to you this morning that you get to know the Lord. And if you do know Him, I suggest that you get to know Him even further and deeper. Because the Lord is good. He granted her prayer. He granted her to have a man child. And she did just what she said she was going to do. She gave him to God. But look at chapter number 2 of 1 Samuel. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiced in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." In other words, she was happy, she was speaking, and she was thankful to God that she had been given unto her this man child. Look at verse number 27 of chapter 1. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I ask Him." The Lord will grant you if you just ask Him. The Lord will give you what you need, and sometimes He gives you the desires of your heart. He can give you all the desires of your heart. But what about all the mothers this day that are crying because of sadness of losing a son or losing a daughter or losing one of their children or multiple of their children? You know, God, sometimes we don't understand the way the works of God goes. Now, I'm not saying that God is causing any child out there to be shot down in the street like an animal. That's not God. That's man. But what I am saying to you this morning is that as a mother, as a woman, if you've got children, embrace them. Let them see the faith that you have in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that they may grow up to be better young men and young women, that they may grow up to know the Lord themselves. There's nothing like a faithful woman, one who trusts in the Lord, one who knows the Lord and one who serves the Lord, one who does the righteousness of the Lord. When I think about and I look back at that Old Testament section or that Old Testament chapter about Hannah, I think how this woman felt so precious toward the Lord that she gave Him her everything when she asked in prayer, when she went to Him in prayer. She poured out her heart. She poured it out to Him. How many mothers today will pour out their heart? I'll tell you how some mothers like to pray. "Lord, I need to get my hair done today and I ain't got no money." And that's the end of the prayer. And then if they don't get it, well, the first thing they say is, "I asked the Lord to give me the money to get my hair done, but He didn't, so I quit praying." But that's not only women, that's men too. And so what are you saying, preacher? Simply saying one thing here. You've got to learn to give your heart over to God in prayer. You've got to believe. You've got to have faith that God can hear, that God does hear, and that God will answer your prayers. Now, I don't have a timetable like God has a timetable, and neither do you. But He does answer prayers. He didn't close up shop like so many businesses of today do. He is still in the prayer answering business. He's still in the healing business. He's still in the I'll get you up in the morning business. He's still in I'll lay you down at night and I'll gently touch their eyelids and close them down and then I'll touch them in the morning and open them up and you wipe the sleep from your eyes. That's the kind of Lord that we serve today. The kind of Lord that knows me and knows you and knows all about us. He knows about every trial and every tribulation. I tell you something about God. God is good. And all the time, God is good. And I say to you this morning, if you don't know Him, you ought to get to know Him. If you met Him long time ago, you need to reacquaint, and you walked away from Him or you turned away from Him, you need to reacquaint yourself with Him. Not only mothers, but Father's Day is coming and fathers need to do the same thing. Now I understand that, and I say this almost every year too, but I understand that Father's Day is not as big as Mother's Day. Fathers are basically kind of on the outside looking in, but fathers ought to be happy too that mothers are being honored. Because you came, husbands, you came from a mother. Fathers, you came from a mother. Children, you came from a mother. And God granted that woman the ability to have you and bless her with you. Now some children are so bad, mothers are saying, do I really need Him? But He is your child. There you go. God chastised us. So why don't you feel that it's right for you to chastise your children? I know what some are saying. The justice system, the legal system says that if I whip my child, I may go to jail. Well, they can't put us all in jail. And that's no excuse for not disciplining your child. And disciplining your child means more than sending him to the corner like they used to do years ago. Send him to the corner doesn't work because you left him with his cell phone. He can sit there and play games still. You left him with his computer and he can still do things on his computer. Whipping him means just that. Whipping him. Now, I was afraid when it came the time when my mother talked about whipping me. She would tell me something like this. I'm going to remember that. I will remember that. And when she got on me, it was for yesterday, today, and tomorrow as well. And then while she's beating you, she would always tell you to shut up. But you know, that's a mother showing her love usually. I thank God for every whipping I got. And you ought to thank God for every whipping your mother gave you as well. You ought to thank God that you had a woman in your life that cared enough to try to keep you on the straight and narrow. You can't just punish your children by saying, go over there and you got a time out. That's what they say. You take a time out. Well, time out is not really whipping him, is it? Time out only means that you can't come in my face for a few minutes. But you can still use your computer, you can still use your iPod, your iPad, your iPhone, you still got that. Instagram, text messaging, and all of that. But God is still willing and able to keep us if we but just go to Him. And to all the mothers once again today, I thank you for your service, for being a mother. I thank you for trying to keep your kids at least on the straight and narrow, to those of you who do. To those of you who don't, I suggest you get in that path, on that road. But remember that woman, that woman of faith, Hannah. How that before she had a child, she petitioned for a child. How that before she came with child, she poured out her heart to the Lord. Do we pour out our hearts today to the Lord, or do we just simply say, Lord, give me this, give me that? We need to pour out our hearts. And if anyone wants to know or be interested in meeting the Lord, I got a way for you to meet the Lord. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. It's a nice day, and a baptism will serve the church good as well as serve you good and bring peace and joy to all around. But somewhere, even after you've been baptized, sometimes we go astray. And when we go astray, how do we come back? Well, it's simple. You ask the Lord for His forgiveness, and then come forward and ask the church to pray for you that you may grow stronger. And one thing I found, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. When you get up here, don't mumble. Don't mumble. Let the people in the audience know that you need them to pray for you. When you get up here and you turn your back and you're standing like this or like this, and you're saying, I don't know what you're saying. I don't need to know what you're asking me to pray for, but simply I need to know that you're asking me to pray. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation,